Thank you for choosing Dwelling Place City Church Podcast.
Joe, if you're watching my live feed, get a hold of your Bible and say this with us out loud. This is my Bible. It's the living word of God. Has the power to change lives. And I declare by faith that my life and the life of others is about to be changed. Go to the book of Ephesians. Go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. This morning, we're going to start out by reading a verse, a couple of verses that we used last week. And then we're going to jump into our context. And this is part two in our series. And in Ephesians chapter 1, you hear me talk to you all the time about life and how life flows from being created by God in eternity. But we're going to pick it up today in Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 16. Watch this. It'll be on the screen. We're going to do it out of King James today. Watch this. Paul says, "Cease not to give thanks." Okay, we just did that. "Cease not to give thanks for you making mention of you in my prayer." Listen to what he says. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you," say, "I'm a you," "that God may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." Here it is, verse 18, "that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." What a boatload. We talked last week about how we as a people come to understand that we should be living from a point of advantage. In the series, it says, who has the advantage? The question we should be listening to is, and questioning ourselves is, who has our advantage? Are we living our life from the advantage point? And Paul said there, that your eyes be opened, that you might understand who you really are and see yourself from a kingdom perspective. That I said to you a thousand times, and may it be another 100,000 before God takes me home, that you are bigger on the inside than you are on the outside. And that is a truth you must never become bored with. You must embrace that and begin to understand. Those of you that are new, that have just been born again, or those that are watching by Facebook Live, that you understand that the inside of you is where you're supposed to live from. And that's what he's saying, that the eyes of your understanding come to a place of enlightenment. So in part two this week, who has your advantage? Remember I said to you last week that the word advantage means this: a favorable, stronger position, better information, physically stronger, and larger in size. In other words, whoever has the advantage is pretty much in charge. And I've given you a number of examples in military terms. It also means who has the higher ground. Who holds the best position in the battle? In case you haven't figured this out yet, once you give your life to Jesus, you enter into a whole new level of conflict. Not that life changes, but that you begin to understand, wait a minute, I got saved and nothing changed. Most people say, oh, just give your life to Jesus and everything will get better. Right. Wrong. It doesn't get better. You get better. The situation doesn't change. You understand that? Life is life, and you're going to deal with issues in life. It's not whether issues in life are going to change. It's whether you change in the issues. Because when you change in the issues, that's when the issues change. Because your advantage, because of you seeing it from that situation. Advantage, break it down like this. I did it last week. Advantage, vantage, view or see it and see the situation. So in other words, how you begin to see yourself from here, not here. Look at me if you're not looking. Look at me if you're not looking. How you see yourself from here, not here. when you begin to see yourself from a kingdom perspective, you begin to change how you see yourself in the situation. And you begin to move to the advantage or the best vantage point. So we've added that in the process in our thinking. And I gave you an example last week of Gettysburg and the Battle of Gettysburg for Little Round Top and Little Big Top, and how that the North, they were on, they had the advantage. They were on the top of Little Round Top and then and Big Round Top. And they had the advantage in the battle. And most people get the idea that the battle was fought in the field, but it wasn't fought in the field. It was fought in the trees. A struggle for the hilltop. And I said to you, the single largest loss of human life in the Civil War was at that situation and circumstance. 51,000 men died in that conflict, struggling for the advantage. And so we begin to understand that in our struggles in life, in raising your children, in working through your marriage and marriage issues. If you haven't had any issues in your marriage, you see, came right out of the front row, then you ain't married. You're shacking up, but you ain't married. Okay, I couldn't have said that better, okay? So you understand that, it's always for the advantage point. If you remember, those of you that are old enough to remember, or those of you young enough, you've had your classes in school, hopefully they've taught you enough about history to know about Iwo Jima and Mount Suribachi. That's the view from the bottom of the mount where the battle at Iwo Jima began. That's the view on the way up the hill. And, of course, we all remember the iconic picture of the top of the hill. Hoorah. Yes, thank you. You understand that we're in a battle for the advantage and to live and to work our lives from the advantage. And that means you have the right knowledge of the situation. Knowing is power and authority. Knowledge is power. The more you know, the more power you have in kingdom terms. Ignorance is not bliss. Remember, anybody remember that saying, oh, ignorance is bliss? How many of you remember that? Huh? The rest of you aren't old enough to remember it. Ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is a curse. It's not bliss. And I've said to you over and over again that in the Hebrew language, light represents understanding, knowledge, and darkness represents ignorance. And so whenever someone is in the darkness, they're ignorant of what's going on. Just go into a dark room and try to find your way around. Bump into furniture, bump into situations, hurt yourself. So we understand that understanding is wisdom and gives you the advantage point. That's why Paul said that the eyes of your understanding be opened, that you have the wisdom and the revelation and the knowledge of him who you are. He was so fervent about that because he understood that that's what changes a person's life. What changes us is from the inside out. And so last week, several of you picked up on the statement that I made, because you commented either by email or in person or whatever the case was. I made a statement in last week's start of the series that we're going to carry throughout this series all the way into Easter and Resurrection Sunday. And the issue is, I said this, ignorance is self-imposed. People who are ignorant have chosen to be. If you don't know what needs to be known, it's a choice. You can't blame it on somebody else. It's important that you understand that as a believer. You have a book full of understanding, and so do I. And if I'm ignorant about what God says about any given situation in my life, it's nobody's fault but Bob's. And the same goes for you and I. And so ignorance is self-imposed. This ignorance tells me how I think I should think rather than how I should think. And it becomes personal. Several of you commented, and it was interesting because that encouraged me, because it tells me you're not only listening to what we're talking about, but you're beginning to apply it because you began to talk about it in connect groups. So much so that several of you connected with me and said, now, wait a minute. Did you say ignorance is self-imposed or self-inflicted? And I thought, you guys are getting it, because that's where we're going in this series. Today we're going to talk about self-inflicted ignorance, how we impose it upon ourselves. Not only is it self-inflicted, it becomes self-afflicted. An infliction becomes an affliction. You understand that? When we're inflicted with ignorance about what God says in a situation, it becomes an affliction. It becomes an adversity. Affliction means something that causes pain. And so how many painful issues do we deal with in life that we could either reduce or eliminate the pain if we would yield to what the Scripture says about how we deal with that issue? Am I making any sense here? How many marriages struggle? How many times over the 50 years that I've been in ministry that I've talked to people and they struggle through their marriages, and they struggle because they're unwilling to apply biblical principles? Amen. The same thing with raising children or your finances or whatever the case might be. So in that opening verse, Paul says that your eyes would be opened. This is not your physical eyes. It's the eyes of your spirit. It's the eyes of your heart. And you've heard the old saying, what you don't know won't hurt you. How many of you know that's a lie? You know, ignorance is bliss. Oh, yeah, ignorance is stupid. That's what it is. Because you've chosen to not know. How many times have you said to someone who came to you that wanted advice, you gave them the right answer, and they went, yeah, but I just don't, you know. That's self-imposed. Don't you blame that on the devil. Don't you blame your ignorance. I can't blame my ignorance in any given situation on the devil. The devil loves taking credit for it, but it shouldn't be. So I'll give you an example. For instance, Ronald Reagan, President Reagan, met with Mikhail Gorbachev, the Prime Minister, Secretary, rather, of the Soviet Union, the Communist Party, and he met with them on a arms treaty. And he sat with him, and he talked with him about verifying whether they were really going to de-escalate nuclear weapons. And he made a statement to Gorbachev as he was leaving. Gorbachev said, are we good with this? And Reagan said, it's not in effect yet. What Reagan said to Gorbachev should be something every Christian should remember. He said, trust, but verify. He said, I trust you, Mr. Gorbachev, but I'm going to verify what you said. In other words, how many Christians just go by what their pastor tells them? They listen to what somebody says on television, or they go to their church and listen to the pastor. Well, the pastor said it. It must be true. You know what? You need to learn to trust, but then verify. And how do you verify? You do your research for yourself. You get into the Scriptures, and you find out whether what has been said is actually true. You have to verify for yourself. You can't put your understanding on me. It's not on me. It's between you and the Holy Ghost. That's why he said, I pray. He didn't say, you're going to trust me. He said, I pray that the eyes of your understanding between you and God be open. Now, the greatest thing I can say to you as a body of people, in doing my best as a human being, as flawed and as arrogant and goofy as I am, that I want you to know you must take time to verify everything that you learn from this pulpit or from any book, any tape, any CD, any video you listen to. You must experience it for yourself for it to become real. If you believe that, give God a praise. You know, cults are actually started on this issue. How many people follow cults? You can watch now. They have another special coming out, the Ministers of Evil. That series is on now. I think it's on A&E right now. And how many cults have been started because the people trusted the leader but never verified what was said? They never took the time. They just said, oh, well, and they blindly marched on. You have a responsibility to hear the truth and then apply it. And it's not really truth to you just because you say, aha, I agree. You can't agree mentally. You have to agree spiritually by choice and decision. Am I making sense? That's the greatest security I can offer you as a shepherd, to say that the Bible is open to you. Christianity is the only religion in the world that has ever existed that tells everybody everything all the time from the housetops. There are no secrets. There are no secrets. You can know everything you want to know. You say, well, you know, am I going to know it all? No, you'll never know it all. But when you know the Holy Ghost, that Jesus said is the Spirit of truth, you begin to yield your life. You're born again, and you say to the Holy Spirit, I want to live in truth. I want you to open up my heart, and I want you to open up the scriptures to me. So ignorance is self-imposed. Not only is it self-imposed, it's self-inflicted, and then it turns to self-affliction. That we live substandard, afflicted, financially, emotionally, relationally, maritally, raising our children. We live substandard in every area of our life where we refuse to let the truth of the scriptures come in and tell us how to do it. I know this is hard. This is hard. You sound like, I may sound like I'm being brutal. Listen, I'm as brutal on myself as I am on you. Because I recognize that if I'm going to be free, it's going to be free. I will not live my life in self-imposed affliction. And if you understand that, how many people never understand that affliction as pain and suffering in life, how many times do believers suffer things they don't have to suffer? It doesn't mean, now suffering doesn't mean you won't be dealing with something. It just means you're not going to be on the bottom of the pile. You're going to be on the top of the pile. And you're going to understand you're going to be on the top of the situation looking down because you have the advantage. And you understand the scriptures. And you understand what God is trying to say. So ignorance always results in self-inflicted wounds. Self-inflicted wounds. We blame what other people do to us and the way they hurt us. It's not that they didn't hurt us. It's not that it didn't hurt. It's just you see it from a different place. You can hurt me. You can. Why did the New Testament disciples live the life the way they lived in all the conflict it caused? Because they had a viewpoint. They understood. And they understood that what you do not know won't hurt you is an absolute total lie. What you don't know will hurt you. And so if we understand, matter of fact, you know, I had an experience just for the sake of an example, but we were, a friend and I was part of the church, we used to rock climb all the time, and we flew to, in a private plane, a Piper Saratoga single engine plane. We flew to Mammoth, and we parked the plane in Mammoth, and we drove to Yosemite, and we hiked for 3 or 4 days, rock climb rather. That was in my younger years when I was young enough to rock climb, but we would had a great time, and we got back to Mammoth, and we got in the plane and took off. And it's a Piper Saratoga. It's a small plane, and it's a little mini rocket ship as far as we were concerned, you know. 160 knots, and we're booking it back towards Southern California, and we took a look over at the hills on the west side of where we were headed back to Southern California, and we decided to divert off course. We charted our course. We diverted and said, hey, let's go over here. You know, over to look at the side of the hills, and we were kind of getting, we were off course. Let's just put it that way. For those of you that don't fly, we won't make it any more complicated than necessary. And so we're off course. And then we thought, you know what, we've been off, we better get back on our charted course. And we get back out, okay? Get back at the right altitude, okay? And we're right altitude, and we're buzzing along, just having a good time. And suddenly, we hear from traffic control. 7310 Yankee. Military traffic, 12 o'clock. Do not divert your course. And I'm thinking, oh, great. Okay, so we're looking at, military traffic. Where is it? You know, it's above us. We're looking for it. You know. We are ignorant of where it's at. And we are Father, Son, Holy Ghost, okay? I'll do anything at that point, okay? If it's cross myself, it'll help. Okay, whatever. And we're looking, and boom, from behind us to whatever they were, at breakneck speed, over us. We were goofing off. We had gotten off course. And there are points in your life when the Spirit of God is trying to say, 7310 Yankee, get your britches back where it belongs. Because you're ding-a-linging around someplace in your ignorance. And you're going to die because of it. At that point, man, it's like, yes, sir, no, sir, we're going to fly our charted course 100% of the time from that point on. You understand that things can happen in life. And when you're on your course, if they happen, the Holy Ghost will watch out for you. He'll give you the wisdom that you need. You know, it's no longer you can blame the devil for your ignorance. You know, ignorance is always has its consequences, and it always will. So you understand that you become accountable for what you know of the truth. You're accountable for this, and you always will be. And you may not like me for telling you this. You may think I'm a little bit too hard, but I would rather tell you the truth and tell my truth, myself the truth and be held accountable for it. Amen. That we know the word. You say, well, I just have a hard time with the Bible. Big deal. Get in a boat with the rest of us, okay? If you don't have a Bible, go get one. If you do have a Bible, crack it open every single day. People say, well, I just can't reach it. I don't care if you read five verses. Read something. Yeah. Feed yourself. Yeah. Don't put it on me. Yeah. Put it on God and your relationship with him. Well, wait a minute. What about the people who never have a Bible? Wait a minute, Bob. What about the people who have never heard about Jesus? Aren't they ignorant? And that's not self-imposed. Well, you're absolutely right. But the Bible also has an answer for that. If someone's living in a remote jungle and they've never heard the gospel, then of course it's incumbent on the church to begin to get the message out. But if people have never genuinely heard the message of the gospel, are they going to be judged by the truth? Absolutely. But here's the deal. This is how this goes. People say, well, wait a minute. I'd rather not know the gospel. I'd rather be judged by ignorance. No, you don't. Because you see, Paul tells us that the law of God is written on everyone's heart. And everyone knows right from wrong and wrong from right. You know what is right by what you want other people to do to you and for you. We know what is wrong by what we don't want other people to do to us. And so everybody who is ignorant of the truth is going to be held accountable, not by this, but by this. And if we treat people in a way other than the way we want to be treated, am I making sense to you?
Yes.
That you understand, I would rather be judged by the truth and find the grace of God. You say, well, the Bible's too hard. I can't do it. Welcome to the real world. You can't do it with the Holy Ghost, without the Holy Ghost in your life empowering you to do the word. That's what Christianity is about. Christianity isn't about a big long list of do's and don'ts that you can do. Christianity is about a big long list of do's and don'ts you can't do, but by the grace of God and the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit and being born again, you can live the truth of the word and live from an advantage point, no longer live from a disadvantage. Give him a praise. Yeah. So as we prepare to leave from here today, I want to leave you with one last example before we run out of time. How many of you have heard about Pavlov's dog? Pavlov's dog is an experiment. A Russian psychologist decided that he would try to prove how we become, or people become, conditioned, preconditioned to circumstances. So what he did, he put his dog, tied his dog up, and it wasn't a mean experiment, tied his dog up, and you can't see it, but he put a tube inside the dog's cheek. And what he did was he had trained the dog before that every time, I forget what he did a sound.
He rang a bell.
What? Bell. Oh, bell. It was a bell. That's right. He rang a bell, and every time he rang the bell, he'd feed the dogs. And ring the bell, and he'd feed the dogs. He did this over and over and over again. Then one day, he put one of the dogs in this situation, put a tube in its mouth, and rang the bell to see if the dog would salivate. And the dog started salivating. And what he proved was there are preconditioned responses. Not only to animals, but to people. As you and I begin to feed on God's word and learn what the scripture says about how we should live our life, we begin to become preconditioned in our response. If we refuse this, we become preconditioned by the world. Why would you want to live without the potential to be successful in what God wants you to do? The Bible's full of people that have said, oh, well, you know, I'll tough it out and see how it goes. I want to ask you as believers, are you ready to take your personal life, not somebody else's life, your personal life, along with Pastor Susan and I, to an entirely new place of accountability in the scriptures? Are you ready? Let me tell you something. If you watch the news, you better get ready for what's coming down the pike. If you think this thing is going to turn around in our nation because of another election, you are smoking really good stuff. Because it ain't going to happen, folks. People say, well, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. Read your Bible. Jesus said in the last days, it's going to get like it was in the days of Noah. And you understand that this is what's happening not only to our nation, but to the world. Right is wrong, and wrong is right. And there's no semblance of anything about Christianity and the Bible. They hate Christians and they hate Jews because we hold our lives to the basic sacred truth of the scriptures, and we will live them at the advantage, not the disadvantage. Whoa. Don't shout me down because that's good preaching. I got to stop right now because I can tell you what the clock says, okay? So what's your decision today? I'm not asking you for a public response. What is your decision today? Will you let the presence of God convict you in a loving way that it is time for us as believers to stand up for the message of the gospel and recognize that the greatest message we send the world is not what we say about Jesus, but what we live. And how we live our lives in accordance to God's word. I believe as a church, a body of people, we are not the only people. I have not heard this, but I am absolutely 1,000,000,000% persuaded I am not the only one saying these kind of things. I know that. Because when the Holy Ghost says something that is really true to the church, he says it everywhere. All the time. He may be saying it in other ways, but he's saying the same thing. What about you? What are you going to do today with what you heard about self-imposed ignorance? How many Christians? I'm not just going to talk about the world. How many Christians are in bondage to pornography? Alcohol, they're addicted, they can't live without it, drugs, material things, and the list goes on and on. They live a substandard life. Not that they're not loved, not that they're not believers, but you live below your standard. You live below what Jesus purchased for you. Yes. To know the truth, that the truth would set you free. Today, as we finish, I want to say to you, if you're watching by Facebook Live or you're here in this room today, none of this is applicable to your life unless you surrender your life to Jesus. Amen. A number of you are going to get into the baptistry today, and Pastor Steve's going to baptize you. When you're baptized,